I know. I feel like I went from, I was like Ted Turner running TNT to like when AOL merger happened between Todd and Atherton. I'm like, somehow I became like fourth in command over the last like 3 months.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hey, you! Yeah, I'm talking to you, sassy girl. Need a little ah in your step? Try this on for size.
It's pop.
Tastes great. It makes you feel kind of funny. Not here, not down there, but all up in this area. And coming jumbo pop.
Talking pop.
Chicken tired of hearing all these people talk about what's the deal with this pop life and when is it gonna fade out? The thing you got to realize, what we're doing is not a trend. We got the good, the melody, we're gonna bring it till the end. Come on now.
Place to Be Nation. Welcome to Talking Pop. I am Jennifer Smith, but you can call me Queen Bee. Speaking of queens, I'm here with Tim. How you doing, Tim?
Thank you for that segue and lovely introduction.
You're welcome.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi.
I am Tim. I'm glad to be here. And this is going to be maybe an annual tradition now.
It's gotta
I mean,
be.
Second year in a row, we're going to be talking this topic. And we've got a guest with us. Who do we have?
Well, my traveling buddy, his name is Justin Rosero.
Hi.
Hi.
How long were you sitting on that joke? Because you read it like you had it written on your hand.
I think I thought of it like 5 days ago,
okay,
and yeah. I was really hoping that it came out all right.
Yes, we have a first-time guest, Justin Rosero,
yes,
with us here, Talking Pop.
I'm a legend on TNP.
It's been a minute, I will say.
Yes. Ever since I bombed the summer movie preview.
Yeah, that was awful.
That was like the Joseph Stone appearance on PTV.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I forgot about that one.
I haven't seen that one. Here's a movie expert.
Well, here's your chance to redeem yourself.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to do it because I have seen most, well, and remember most of what we're going to talk about.
Okay. Well, most is good.
Well, you were going to do this edition of this show last year, and then something happened. Like, you were sick. You had the, I guess, WrestleMania equivalent of con crud, which is when you go to a comic convention and you're around a bunch of, you know, people with various illnesses in close quarters or just extremely unhygienic. And yeah, you pick something up, you come home, and it doesn't hit you until later. You feel like shit.
Yeah, I think part of it too was I had done a road trip, so I was gone for like 5.5 days, and I probably decided for the my health and safety, I should not then record a podcast like the next night I got back. So that was probably part of it too.
Right. It's your limit. Yeah. It happens. So if you have not inferred already, we are going to be talking WrestleMania 35.
Well,
more on the recapping of the mania than the wrestling, I'll say.
Right. Like you've heard the reaction shows, hopefully by now on the wrestling
yeah.
feed. So.
Mm-hmm.
This is like the real story. This is like behind the
behind the music.
Yeah,
you need Steve Allen to narrate it.
Yes. Oh man! All right. So, where to begin? To set us up, you, Jenny, you, Justin, were both in attendance as you were last year as
By
well.
By the way, when do we have this agreement that we're gonna break kayfabe and go with Justin on the show? Is that was it? Did you guys decide that without me? Was that in your
yeah,
production meeting?
Yeah, we already decided
okay.
that.
This is behind the scenes, I guess. So
I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
Is that
shoot
all right?
Comments. This is like a shoot comment, not meant to be a shoot comment kind of thing.
All right, that's fine. It's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, this show, you don't fool with like nicknames or made
no,
up
I know.
Names.
I can't really say
here.
Much.
See, we're using our made up names.
We talked porn. I watched when I was 16 last time I was on, or first
exactly.
time.
Exactly. I mean, like, so you're yeah. I mean,
you can't be precious about these things, right?
Yeah.
After that kind of debut on this podcast.
Correct.
All right. So y'all were there, y'all. I was not. And I kind of like it that way because it gives me something to ask you guys about and to uncrack this sucker. Mm-hmm. So I guess let's just start out with what day did you get there and what was that day like just travel-wise?
Well, for me, I flew, of course, from Pensacola, and I've only flown like two other times, so, and it was like 10 years ago. So I was real sort of like anal about your liquid rules on your carry-on and whatnot. Like, I like researched everything and like, but I also did the like TSA pre-check thing, so I don't have to go through all the security. So basically it was like all for naught. Like, I could have had whatever I wanted in there. I mean, like, sorry TSA, but you didn't check my shit very well when I went through there. And so anyway, all my flights were good. Like, I was surprised that it was easy to navigate. Even Atlanta did not give me much trouble. And I was sort of afraid of losing my checked bag, but the Delta app is really cool because you can see where your bags are. They check them in, like, wherever you go. So anyway.
Yeah, I can see where mine was when it was lost a couple weeks ago. Real helpful, that app.
So anyway, it was just like me, like this Alabama girl going to New York City was sort of overwhelming.
How did your local family and friends locally that have never been or intimidated by, did you catch a lot of shit of don't get mugged, get attacked?
Because my mother-in-law came in to stay here while I was gone, and she was very quick to tell me that I was probably going to get mugged and murdered and everything. And
did you get mugged or murdered?
I did not. No. I felt really safe, honestly, the whole time. I never, I got overwhelmed a couple times, but I never felt, and we were, walking the streets late at night, and we called a couple of Ubers, and, that's a whole different thing now. So, but I never felt, even on the subway, I was really surprised at how sort of normal everything was. Everybody just kept to themselves except for that one lady. And, just seemed to be kind of in their own little world. So it was just surprising how normal it was.
Okay. And where were you staying? Like, whereabouts were you? I mean, the venue is in New Jersey technically, right. But I mean, where did you fly in? Newark or?
I flew to JFK.
JFK. Yeah. All right.
And then, I left out of Newark. So that was...
Gotcha.
Yeah. Got to experience both of those things.
Okay. JT, how are your travels? You had a not quite as far of a trip, and you've been there a couple times, yeah?
Yeah, I've been to New York a lot and MetLife a few times. Yeah, so I drove to Norwalk, where I picked up Scott, took a picture of the video shelf for everybody's entertainment, picked him up, yes. And then we met Mr. Atherton, who I'd never met. Apparently we worked in the same building when I was working where Scott is now in Connecticut, but I didn't remember him. So we had lunch. We had some what the fuck did we have? I almost said Trader Joe's. It was not Trader Joe's. Jimmy John's. So we had a Jimmy John's sandwich for lunch, and then we hung out at the supermarket to get a couple of supplies, so tailgates, and then Atherton stayed behind because he was coming in later that night, and me and Scott drove to pick up Miss Smith at JFK. So that was an adventure. I'd never been there, but it wasn't too bad. I had heard some nightmare stories about Friday afternoon traffic, like getting down to that area, but really we made some pretty decent time. We actually timed it pretty well to get you, Jenny, right when you pretty much had walked outside, right? You weren't waiting too long.
No, I only stood in the cold for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
No, not bad.
It would have been quicker if you actually told me the terminal
before
I was driving by it.
Yes.
Yeah, that would help. I was like, is it 2, 4? And then as I'm driving by it, oh, it's 4. Two, whatever. I guess I got to find my way around. So then we drove to the hotel in it was Manhattan, but it was like pretty much on the line of Brooklyn. It was like right over the bridge in Chinatown. And that was an adventure because I think because I'm guessing the highways were a disaster, Waze took us like back roads from JFK to there. So it was like an hour ride and literally just all like turn, because all one ways and everything else. So you definitely get to see all of like real New York on that.
Yeah.
Road.
Yeah. It was a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah. Okay. And this is Friday, right?
Mm-hmm. So yeah. So we get to the hotel like at 4-ish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And pretty much just went in, got changed, had a couple beers, saw Marc Claire. So that was fun. And then we had a couple of groups. So like the cowboy got there with Andy and Ryder, who was his nephew. I think around the same time we did, but we had so many people that we had to basically take, you know, two rides. We were running a little bit behind getting ready. So they took a lift and we decided to do the subway. So it was me, Claire, Scott, and you. Was Andy with us?
No,
he wasn't with us. Right? Was it the four of us? Mm-hmm. And for some reason, we trusted Claire.
Why? I still don't understand. I still don't. And we questioned it the whole time. Why are we listening to you? But then we continued to listen to him.
Hair Claire.
Yes.
Hair Claire. Yeah. And we were starting to take off on Hair Claire on the walk over.
Sure were.
There you go.
So we get there and it seems fine. Like we're on the train, we're going. And then we get to the stop that we had to stop at to get on a different train. We get on that one. We're feeling good. And the minutes are ticking by. And I'm like, you know, this feels like kind of long, guys. Like, I don't think it was supposed to be this far. I'm like, I think maybe we're going the wrong way. So, but we had no reception in the subway. So like we're on the train. So we're trying to figure it out. I'm like, let's just get off here. And we were going the wrong way. So we had gone like probably almost 15 minutes the wrong direction.
Yes. Just completely in the wrong direction.
Yes.
Yeah. We're supposed to go to Barclays in Brooklyn. And we were going like back into the city. So we had to get off, and then, of course, the train was like another 6 minutes away or whatever to come back the other way.
Shit.
So now we're kind of ticking the minutes down. No,
yeah, cutting it now.
But we also had some interesting altercations on the train.
Well, not altercations. I mean,
verbal.
Interactions.
Yeah. So for most of the time, we were pretty, like, jammed in there, very crowded on the subway. There were a couple of times when it wasn't, but – so I'm standing there and just, you know, you're just trying to make yourself as small as possible, right? Like not breathe on anybody or like look anybody in the eye. And, so you're just trying to, keep it cool. And me, I'm claustrophobic. So I was really just trying to, just, you know, and so this lady, I ended up leaning against the pole and this lady, was like, she wasn't bitchy, but it wasn't nice, but
it was stern.
It was, yes, that's a good word. It was, she's like, just so you know, we don't lean on the poles. And, uncharacteristically,
we don't.
So I was like, oh, okay, my bad, you know, and then it was very awkward for a very couple minutes there until she got off the train.
And I think I had set the tone because I'm pretty sure I leaned on her, like on the way out the
first. Yes, because like, you refused to touch any of the poles.
That's great. I did not want to touch the poles because I did not want my hands to be soiled. As a veteran of the subway game, whether that meant me careening into Scott and when he stopped and started, or having to grip Clara's bicep to not fall, I did not want to touch the pole. So I was leaning against it, and I'm pretty confident I was leaning on her. So I think that's why she was only on edge when she then saw you leaning on the pole. We also saw the urban cowboy on the train. This one guy
had
a giant cowboy hat on. That was all I could think of was Midnight Run or whatever. so something like
that. So when the edibles started kicking in, and they kept making me laugh. It's like really, really crowded, and I'm trying not to laugh. It's fucking crowded ass subway.
I'm just amazed that someone's gonna bitch at you about pole etiquette on these things that have been vomited on and are crawling in microbes and all kinds of God knows what.
You know, it didn't look that dirty to me there. I mean, it's dingy and like,
it's very
but dirty. It's well lit. And it was, I mean, it was kind of
cool. Well, it's not dirty. It's
grimy, you know.
Yeah, they're microscopic. You put a black light on it, it might not look so nice.
Well, I mean, if you're like me, you just carry some hand sanitizer.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
So we finally realized we're going the wrong way. We got to Barclays. We had a hustle, like, what, maybe 5 minute walk from the subway to Barclays.
Yeah, it was rough. It was raining and cold.
It was raining, but we got in quick. So the tag opener had just started, and we're like, all right, should we go watch that? Or while we're here, just get like food and a couple drinks and then just go settle in. And that's what we decided on, was to do that. And I don't know what the fuck was going on. So I've been to Barclays a bunch of times, and I've never had issues with the concessions, but this was a fucking shit show. Like, I was in line. I had to be almost like 10 to 15 minutes, and it wasn't that big of a line, just trying to get my staple, my arena chicken fingers. but were they not taking cash? I think they – yeah, they didn't take cash, so they directed people to ATMs, but then they were out a bunch of stuff. Like it was just, and then it was like Def Comedy Jam, like they're telling jokes, and I'm like, no one's here to hear you. What are you talking about?
And you asked that lady, was like, what's the problem? She's like, I don't fucking know. They're just not taking orders from anybody. And then you tried to get, like...
They were out of the bucket. The bucket of chicken.
What is this anarchy at the fucking concession stand?
That's ridiculous.
But the thing was, too, then I'm like, well, I was pissed. I'm like, well, I was going to get the bucket. And she's like, well, actually... I was like, oh, here we go. I'm getting fucking concession splained. I'm like, all right. She's like, well, actually, it's actually a better deal because you'll get four chicken things instead of three by doing it this way. I'm like, well, whatever, lady. I'm like, just give me the fuck.
Who upsells somebody on chicken fingers?
She was underselling me, actually. She was telling me I was better off not paying for the bucket because they don't give you as much in the bucket and you pay more. Like, that was basically what she was saying.
All right.
So then I get that and I go see you at the bar, and how did that go?
Okay.
Oh, is that later?
Yeah, it was both times because I think the concessions people and the bar people must have been related because they were awful. And I paid $31 for that round, which is two drinks.
What?
$31. Which, I mean, I was prepared for New York / arena prices, but I was like, fuck.
Mine was a beer. Like, one of those two was a beer.
But also, I was so ready for a drink at that point. I really would have paid double for it at that point anyway. Which I ended up buying another round anyway. So, $62.
I like that you made a beeline for the bar, Justin.
Yes. Yeah, I'm like, you food, me drinks. This is what we're doing.
I mentioned the edibles were kicking in.
Yeah, for sure.
Excellent.
So then we sat down. Then we got to see Stacy and D'Amato. We sat with them. So that was awesome. And NXT was a lot of fun. Like, it was a great show, as always. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it topped New Orleans from a match-by-match perspective. I think New Orleans is, like, the better card. But it seems like many thought Cole Gargano is pretty split. I've seen like both ways, but Meltzer had that at 5.5 stars, which I think would make it the highest WWF match of all time.
It's so good.
How did they did that? That's kind
of weird. That seems a little crazy to me.
That
like,
broke a lot of people.
It seems legit. I don't know why you're freaking out.
I don't know. I'll just, again, I said it was more the mania than the wrestling, but I can't help it with NXT. Like, watching that match, after it was over, I was like, that's it. That's the best match I've ever seen. Obviously, I calmed down a little bit afterwards, but I was just...
All right, I guess I got to rewatch this thing. I don't know what it... I mean, I wasn't even really drawing for NXT, but for whatever reason, it was such a blur. Like, I don't know if it was because it was just, like, after the hectic, you know, afternoon getting there, or if it was just crashing or what. I just don't recall. Like, I know I liked Walter and Pete Dunne a lot. That I know. I just find it hard to believe that was legit the best match in the history of the company. That's crazy to me.
It was like one of those, of course you're going to have that initial jubilation after watching something and popping really hard for.
Like it was better than Gargano and Almas from Philly. Cause that's like one of the best matches I've ever seen live. It's better than AJ.
And that's the difference too, is like, I'm sitting here watching it at home. I mean, I watched both those matches at home. You've seen them both live, I guess. So I don't know how the two experiences would really compare.
Gargano Almas was like amazing. Like that was like yes match. Like when I left that, I was like, holy shit! Like that is, you know, I've seen some good stuff live. I'm like, but that was like the match. But you're like, this was better than Punk and Cena at Money in the Bank. You know what I mean? Like
I started going through the mental inventory afterwards because I mean, like I said, my knee jerk emotional reaction and investment in this story was like, you know, they really outdid themselves. And it's like, okay, I mean, rationally sitting down, if I'm going to make a list, is it better than all these? No, probably not. But it was, you know, I don't see how anyone can, I've seen a lot of criticisms like, oh, that's just the worst of, you know, what the NXT presentation style is, and just
a contingent that if you're not a fan of the Shawn Michaels booked Gargano, you know, type storytelling, and there's a lot of cold detractors out there that don't believe in him. And so, I mean, like that match was ripe from, you know, Jump Street to be picked apart by.
Well, and then there's like, there was like all these think pieces, like as soon as the match was over saying, this is why it was not a good match for all these reasons other than that. And I'm just like, these aren't really real reasons. They're just Just sounds like somebody making excuses for why they didn't want to like the match.
One of my favorite parts about Mania Weekend, out of the million of them, is like just being checked out on that stuff. Like, it is really nice.
Right.
To just, every other pay-per-view, every other thing, you're reading a million thoughts and tweet. Yeah, but like for that weekend, like, it really is checkout city. Like, I am just like, I'll follow our kind of group chats and stuff, you know, just to get the temp. But mm-hmm. I am like off Twitter. I'm off anything. Like, I'm not reading anything mm-hmm. or getting reaction to anything. And it's a wonderful way to be. Mm-hmm. And then by the time I settle back in and I'm over it, like, I don't want to read about it anymore. So like for the last few years, I've actually been able to pretty much avoid like takes on the weekend.
Yeah.
Other than like our reaction shows, like on the way back from Connecticut to home, I had to take Charlie home. Like we listened to Zellner and Devin, which I thought did an awesome job. Chad and I talked about that on Warzone this week. The job they did to turn that show around was like,
oh, brilliant. Yeah.
I mean, that thing was posted at 5 a.m. and that's full credit to Devin, Zellner, and Todd, who edited and posted it like, you know, early ass fucking Pacific time. He was doing that. So that was really cool and it was a great listen. So, but other than that, anyway, I'm way off track. But other than that, my point is, it's nice to like detach from that world for a few days and not worry about, you know, reading reviews and thoughts and tweets and criticisms and all that. You just really get enveloped in it. And whether it's WWE, NXT, New Japan, you know, whatever you're going to see, it's a nice way to just step back and be like, whatever, I don't care what so-and-so said, you know, Ryan's tweeting, whatever the fuck, you know what I mean? Like, step away. Yeah.
So that was Friday, kind of a big travel day. Also, you had the TakeOver event, which pandemonium at Barclays aside, sounds like it's a pretty good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we were going to go out after. We did the debate of going out near Barclays. Dr. G and Atherton showed up. They had sat with Scott. Or actually, Atherton, I think, sat with Roger and Andy. So we all kind of met outside Barclays just to say hi and see each other. D'Amato did his Irish exit, so no one saw him vanish until the night.
He literally does vanish. One minute he's standing there, and the next I'm like, where'd he go?
If it's like the end of like the weekend, he'll at least say bye. But like if he knows he's going to see us some more, like he doesn't say bye. He just goes. So we made one of the few mistakes of the weekend on this night, and that was going back near our hotel to go out.
Yes.
You had found a bar online that we thought looked okay. Mm-hmm. So we go back there, and this place is just like packed. And we're like – the problem by that point is we'd taken the subway back. We had stood around. Like, the buzz is gone. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to, like, then want to stand at a crowded bar and, like, amp back up. And, like, all right, let's keep walking and find something. We literally just walked in circles, debated getting food. We saw, like, this Chinese place at, like, it was, like, midnight. So it just was, like, one of those things where, like, all right, we're trying to force it. It's not going to happen. Let's just go to bed, and we'll do it tomorrow night. I do wish, if one of the few regrets I have of the weekend is that we just didn't stay down near Barclays and just like hit up a bar or a restaurant down there just to all hang out more and probably would have had a good time. But I think we were all pretty gassed, so I don't think it was like the worst idea that we just kind of crashed at like midnight or whatever in the night. Or went back.
And y'all were being real precious about eating that Chinese food. I was starving. And so I wanted food, but...
that shit looks like it's being cooked in a bathroom.
Yeah, like, they were just like, me and Eddie's like, come on. And they're just like, no. I'm like, I ate no New York food. I'll just say that. Like,
yeah,
no New York food.
None.
We let you down. Yeah. I did a few times say, like, do you want to just grab a hot dog off this cart? And you're like, no.
How could you? As I'm running through Times Square.
In my head, I was telling you to do it.
Whether I was going to say
I actually said it. I was like, shut up, bitch. Just fucking eat the hot dog.
That's my safe word. do you wish that, like, in a perfect world, in an ideal world, that you had gotten in, like, Thursday and just had, like, the whole day?
Yeah.
Sure.
Friday.
Yeah, I'm already actually planning. I was already talking to Nick about the tailgate for Tampa.
Right, right.
And I was thinking, like, I may try and come in Thursday night, like, late. Like, it's tricky to leave an extra day from here, away from home. But I'm thinking, like, if I did, like, a 5 o'clock flight, if I get, like, a direct or, you know, even if I get in at, like, 10, to then have all day Friday would be cool.
Yeah. You know?
So I may aim for that. But for a flight from here to Tampa is not too bad. If I can get direct, I can get there in like under 3 hours. So even if I have to go Friday morning, it's not the worst thing. But that's going to be my goal, is to go in Thursday night for that one.
Okay. Something to keep in mind. All right. So, Saturday. When does your day start Saturday? And what are you doing?
So we got up. And we had decided to – so our plan was to go – all right, so actually we should probably turn the dial back. So okay. Originally for Saturday, our plan, myself, Jenny, Scott, and Andy Flanagan, we're planning to go to the Yacht Rock Review concert at night.
Yes.
They're awesome. We found out about that, and we were all set. This was when I thought originally like NXT and New Japan were the same night. So we had gotten NXT tickets, and then we found out they weren't the same night, but it was already kind of too late. You know what I mean? It was just like all the shit.
Yeah, you didn't really plan for it, so you weren't worried about it.
And MSG had sold out, and the ticket price was – this was like months ago, right? So it was like, this is crazy. so we – then stuff starts to drop, and we're back and forth, and we're like, oh, we'll just live with it. We'll live with that decision. Sean Kidd messages me on, I think, like Thursday, and he's like, so – I'm in the suite through work. So he works at Taco Bell, and they had the Pepsi suite at Barclays. And he's like, I just got 4 extra tickets. So do you know anyone was interested? I'm like, well, I just happen to have a group of 4. So I quickly connected with my team there on the ground, and we're like, yeah, like I called Scott at work. I'm like, can you talk? And so I'm talking to him, and I messaged you and I called Andy, and I'm like, and everyone's like, yeah, we got to do this. We can't pass it up. So I had a whole kerfluffle selling the concert tickets. I fucked that up. I put them on StubHub and Ticketmaster, and they both sold at the same time. So I ended up getting hit with a fee from StubHub for pulling it back. But I was able to sweet talk my way into getting that cut in half. So anyway, I think I washed out. I still really can't comprehend the math. What happened? I'm pretty sure I did okay.
I think it was minus $7 when we did the math. Yeah.
I think you're okay. Either way, I didn't really lose significant dollars, so that was okay. I didn't make anything. So fast forward, we decided to start a little bit later on Saturday, but just stay – like because we're so far – we're such a ride away from like MSG and downtown. We decided to just stay in the downtown area for like the day. Like just go down there like at 1 and just pretty much be down there and not come back to the hotel. But before that, we wanted to go to the Superstore, which was in Brooklyn. So we took Ubers there, but it was in the most bizarre place. It was at like the Piers in Brooklyn, which I thought was, you know, me being the big Marvel expert, I thought it looked something out of like Daredevil or whatever. Like we're looking for the hand.
Might have been.
So we're going, walking through, and the cabs like, or the lift like dropped us off. We had to have walked like a mile to get to the thing. It was like set way back on the wharf. It was like real weird. Like there was like no signs. Once you saw it, it was like obvious. It was like this huge building, but it was real weird that it wasn't well, you know, clearly labeled. So that was interesting. That Lyft driver like wanted us out of that fucking car. He's like, "You want to go out here? Get out here! Get out here!"
He was afraid of where we were taking him. It looked pretty sketchy down there.
Damn.
But no, that was your first time at the Superstore, right? You didn't go to New Orleans?
No, I did not go to New Orleans. So.
Okay, so what did you think? It was pretty cool, huh?
You know, honestly, I was afraid it was going to be like super overcrowded and like tons of people in there, but it was pretty light as far as the crowd goes on that day. And you got to like really shop around and not feel like crunched. They had some great stuff. I got 2 shirts and I bought the fancy program. So that was cool. Cause I wanted to have, I'm kind of a sucker for like little keepsakes. So I wanted to have something physical. Everybody else, I think got stuff. You got a shirt. Scott got a couple.
I got two shirts and a hat for my son. You know, I try and get the ones that are, this is like the D'Amato tip, get ones that are unique to the weekend and not like generic Mania type stuff, because that stuff goes up on like shop like 2 weeks later for like half price. I'll never actually go back and order it. This was what I was telling him. I'm like, so if I'm here and I want it, I'm just gonna get it. But I try and get like very specific shit that I don't think will go up. So like I got that Heart Foundation versus Rhythm and Blues shirt, and then I got which I actually wore proudly today, is I think one of my favorite shirts I ever bought, wrestling theme. It's the Biggie Andre mashup. So it's like Andre's face with the Big E crown. It's like the old Big E shirt, nice. Which I thought was fantastic. So I bought those, and I got my son, which he calls, no offense to him, a straight hat. It's basically any hat with like a baseball hat with a brim. He calls a straight hat. Which is,
that's fine.
So I bought him.
Look it up on Urban Dictionary later.
Why don't you put a straight hat on, Tim? So I bought him that WrestleMania trucker straight hat. But yeah, I think Scott bought a couple shirts. He opened up the wallet. And who else was with us? Andy.
Andy, Roger. Ryder. Yeah. Ryder got that sweet necklace. That he
yes.
was showing off.
And Claire? Did Claire buy anything?
Claire, oh. Yeah. I don't think he did.
Mm-hmm. The biggest surprise to me at the Superstore was the security guard with like the AK-47 standing at the fucking door.
I know, right?
He literally had like an assault rifle. I was like, what the fuck is going on in here?
I got real nervous at that point. Yeah.
You got to protect Daniel Bryan weed belt.
Yeah, really.
There was also one bathroom in that location because I stood in line for it. And it was...
Was it just a men's room?
It was just a ladies' room. And I guess the other door was locked for whatever reason. And I don't know if anybody was in there or what, but could have been something nefarious going on there. But that was the only complaint I had, is the long line for the bathroom.
So they did have two. They had two authentic Daniel Bryan belts. They were $5,000, and they were signed by Bryan. I think they had. They said they had two or three. It was pretty cool, but I guess it was an actual like authentic version of the belt. So I guess that's why it was $5,000. But the one thing there, I mean, they definitely churn you out. Like, we did not wait long in line very long. Mm-mm, like,
no.
25 registers open.
Yeah.
And they churn you out of there. So then we took a lift back to the hotel to go just change and drop our stuff off and then start the day. That's where I ate like 9 of Jenny's cookies that she had made.
They're very good cookies.
Were they?
Yep. Not pot cookies, just regular.
No, they're regular.
Regular cookies.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
So we got back on the subway. That was just me, you, and Scott because, well, Claire was on the subway with us to begin with, but he was switching hotels. So he was just riding past to where we were getting off because we were going to go meet Kevin Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we had, like, we were trying to sort out our plans. We're like, okay, like a bunch of the crew was at WrestleCon, which is at the Hilton in Times Square. It was actually past Times Square. It was not really in Times Square. It was past Times Square. So like, they were waiting on us there. It ended up being like Stacy, and then Cowboy was there, and Andy, and a bunch, you know, some other characters we'll get to in a minute. And Kevin wanted to meet at like 2:30. I'm like, well, we're not going to go to Times Square. So I was able to get Kevin to meet us like at 1. So I'm like, all right, we're going to take the subway, you know, the three of us to meet Kevin, and then we'll walk over to the Hilton because in New York, everything seems close and ends up not being. But along the way, we indulged in another type of edible.
Okay.
And we did that without much, like, food.
Besides the non-cookies that you had.
So we're fine getting to Kevin. We get to the hotel, and he's in the lobby. We go talk to him. And on the way, when we get to Penn Station, Jenny was going to throw out her cookies. And literally, I think they were hovering over the trash.
Well, I mean, I feel like a fool toting a bag of homemade cookies in a Ziploc bag around New York City. Like, how fucking country are you?
There are far, far worse things people have toted around in bags in New York City, I think.
Like babies, dogs.
But I just felt so dumb, so I was like, I'm just going to throw these away. And they're like, no, give them to Kevin.
So
I'm like,
don't.
No.
But I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I can't eat any more of these fucking things. I am, like, so full of cookies. But I'm like, let's give them to Kevin. I'm like, he will definitely eat cookies. I'm like, no, Kevin. Like, he will eat the cookies. So we get there, and she gives him the cookies, and he eats one, and he's, like, in fucking heaven. And then we're like, just keep them. And he's like, really? So.
He was great, by the way. He was awesome.
Yeah.
Really fun.
He was. He's always fantastic. And he literally, I mean, he stood in that lobby and talked to us. It had to be a half hour.
Oh, nice.
Tom started to lose all meaning at that point. That was the beginning of that.
I'm drawing a blank, but it was Tamatanga, I think, is the one that came in, right? And said hi. So that was kind of cool. We're standing there when he came in. So we're literally just standing there talking to Kevin. Like, fans are kind of walking by, like, hey, that's Kevin Kelly. we're just talking bullshit. It's like Scott, the New Japan weekend expert, was like talking all about the card. And Jenny, this is where we started to go downhill. Like, I'm looking at you. You're like gone. And I'm like, I love Kevin. And it's awesome that like he's a friend and we're talking. But I'm like, I'm done with this conversation. And him and Scott like break down like fucking venue and like all this stuff. And I'm like,
oh, he's probably like hoping you're going to jump in here and talk about anything else. I don't know.
No, he was loving it. They were eating up.
Yeah, it was
and he
great.
Was shitting up like a monitor.
I was enjoying. Finally, I was enjoying listening to him. I'll just say.
I gave the all right. You think he can? I'm like, we really should get going. I'm like, we got some friends waiting at WrestleCon, so we say bye to Kevin, give him some hugs, and we get into the street, and we're like debated for like 3 minutes. We're like, all right, do we go back to the subway and try and figure out how to get the subway there, or do we just walk? And I'm like, us just walk. And on this walk is when, like, we're really starting to degenerate. Like, we are really, you know, Scott's kind of leading the way, but he's, like, hesitant to take control for whatever reason. And I'm like, I don't know where I am or what I'm doing right now. I'm like, someone needs to get us to where we need to go, and it's not going to be.
You're too enhanced.
I pretty much told Scott, dude, you need to fucking take over. Like, get us there. I'm like, I cannot do this right now. We also saw a homeless guy jerking off in a cup.
We sure did.
Like, literally. Like, it was
I was
very
like,
clear.
Hey, look at that guy.
Straight out of like some 2005 TNA wrestling.
I wish I could explain like the surrealness that I felt, because I would have these moments like walking, just being like, I am high as fuck. I'm in Times Square, walking to Times Square, people everywhere, buildings everywhere, noise everywhere. It's just overwhelming. And then I'm like with two friends from the internet. Like, what am I doing?
Friends from the internet.
It's like, what is happening?
Queens. Yeah. And it's like, you know, when you have like those dreams, Tim, where you're trying to get somewhere and you can't get there. And it's like, seems like hours are going by in the dream. You know what I mean?
It's like, just keeps getting farther and farther away.
Yes.
This was that dream come to life. I'm like,
oh no.
We just kept walking.
And like, people are waiting for us and they're messaging us. Yes. And like, Aaron is at the fucking Statue of Liberty or some shit, or like Empire State Building. He's like, do you want to go with that? I'm like, I don't fucking know. Like, I don't even know where I am. And I'm like,
what's the Empire State Building?
Everyone's like messaging us, like, where are you? And I'm like, we're walking. I swear, we're almost there. And but it felt like
stop
forever.
Moving either. It was just a constant flow of people. You couldn't. Like, we were all trying to stay together, obviously, and not get lost, but you weren't – like, I felt like I should be stopping taking selfies or something. Like, look at this place. And I just had to keep walking to keep going where I'm going.
And I think it was a mile and a third we walked.
Yeah.
And it didn't seem bad when we saw it on the phone. I'm like, oh, this is nothing. It'll be like 15 minutes. And I think it took – because
it was an hour,
you don't
for sure.
Yeah. What you don't factor is that you have to stop at every fucking block for the traffic. You know what I mean? Like this, and the people, like, you don't plug that into your mentality. You just think 15 minute, I can do like a 15 minute mile.
That's cool, yeah.
20 minute, maybe max, like walking. But yes, so the only way I knew how long it was I had looked at a picture I had taken or whatever, some message, and then I looked again at a picture I'd taken when we got to WrestleCon, and like an hour and 10 minutes had elapsed.
Yes.
And I'm like, fuck. And like, these people were waiting for us. It was like a group of people. Mm-hmm. So as we walk in the lobby, I am like now officially like the most baked ever. I mean, I was literally like, I could not even fucking stand. So we get in the lobby.
I wish I had taken pictures of that.
It fucking, like, I just felt like I was in a circle of people all of a sudden. And then the sweet angel James Gruber appears out of nowhere. And he's like, hey, Justin, what's up? And I'm like, dude, like, slow your roll. So we're talking to him. And then I turn around and I see this ghost of a man, Eric Eales, looking me in the eyes. I'm like, I know who he is. I know this man talking to me. But he felt like he was 9 feet tall, like looking up at me. And I'm like, is he really here? You know, like, I didn't know. It was like fake. Like, I was dreaming it. And he's talking to me, and I'm like, I don't know what he's saying.
Did I conjure you?
And I'm like, I'm like, can you help us get where I need to go? Like, we need to go upstairs and like find everyone. And he's like talking to me, and he's like, yeah, it's been real busy here. I'm like, I don't know what you're like, where's here? I'm like, just get me where I need to go. And then Jenny's bitching about being hungry. So I'm like, all right, let's go get some fucking.
Look, I had been through Times Square. I had been through a journey, a fucking trek. I was not going anywhere without some food. I like hangry, like real bad. And a Snickers bar saved my life. So it should win the candy tournament, just based on that.
Yeah, so we go to like this cafe. And it felt like forever. I'm like, people are waiting. Like, but I didn't have, like, if I was straight, I would have, like, I would have went up the thing to find him and say, hey, we're here, eat it quick. We'll be right. But I couldn't even, like, that was too much for me. I'm like, Roger's messaging me, like, where are you? I'm like, I don't know. Like, we're at the cafe. I think we're downstairs. I'm like, Eels, help me. You know, he's talking about the show. And I'm like, I don't know what you're saying. Stop talking, but talk. And then I somehow I ended up with food. Like, I don't even remember buying it. I ate a banana and a granola bar, I think. And yes. Like, the whole thing is like a fucking shit show. So then finally we go upstairs.
And we don't even have tickets to this event. We've walked all this way and don't even have a way to get in.
And I think we run into, was it Roger and Andy? Like, who met us in the lobby? Do you remember? Because by that point I am like gone.
We ran into Claire briefly.
That's when I really started to go. Yeah. I was like, I crossed paths with him and the weed just like melted to me. Yeah. Like immediately after we ran into him, that was before the ghost of Eels appeared. that's when I really just like went, like that was it. That was the worst like hour or so.
All right. So we've got the ghost of Eels and we've got the angel of death and Mark Claire now. Yes. So it's just,
well, no, Claire was only going to his hotel. He was like staying there.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So we just kind of ran across with him. His buddy. And, Stacy was there, John Hollywood, Andy, right. Roger, us,
Eels, and that was it, and Grunberg.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So we go upstairs, and like we see everyone else, and I can't figure out the configuration of this building. Like every other WrestleCon I've been to is like one floor, one room. You go in, and you're in. Like this was multiple levels, and Eels and these guys are trying to explain it to me. And Roger, I'm like, I don't know, I'm not following what you're telling me right now. You're like, I don't know where to fucking go. So they're like, all right, well, if you go in this room.
Played into our favor eventually, I think.
Correct.
The disorganization.
So we're standing there and like there's this long, we're in this room and there's a long hallway. There's a person checking tickets or wristbands at the front of it and then someone at the back of it. And there's a constant flow of traffic through this hallway. But I see that this guy is being very diligent and I was aware of it because I know I had read something online that people, they were pissed at people sneaking in and they had a crackdown. So I'm like, I don't know if we're even going to get in here. So we're standing there talking, I think, and I happen to just look up, and I see the guy, the security guy or bouncer, whatever he was, he turns to like write out a piece of paper with someone else, and the instinct, Tim, when I tell you, just kicked in. I just started walking.
He did.
I'm like, this guy's not looking.
Yep.
And I was hoping that Jenny and Scott were behind me,
yep.
And I didn't even look back. I just went.
No, I saw him see it, and I was like, that's it. We're about to ninja in here.
I will say this is a move I very much endorse. I would definitely pull something like that.
Well, so this is the third year I've gone to WrestleCon without paying, so I'm on the hell of a streak. So I keep going. And I'm like, just hide your hands. So like my hands are down, and somehow we get by the second one. We just kind of follow the crowd, and we're in the room.
Yep.
And I'm like, holy shit, we did it. We're in the fucking room.
And then Tony Schiavone is like right there. Like
literally right there.
Right there.
Like designed for us. Because I'm like, we're not going to be able to walk around this place. So we are standing in a group. It was the group you just outlined, Stacy, John, Roger, and I know I'm trying to talk to Roger, and he's like, are you all right? And I'm like, yeah, like, I did the stuff. I'm all
right. I did the stuff.
And then, so we're like, well, you have to meet Tony. Like, you're right here. It would be stupid not to.
Yeah.
And somehow, the last act I had in my body before it completely shut down was to note a video of you meeting Tony Schiavone, because I don't know how otherwise. Like, I could not even piece together anything else that was going on. Like, Hollywood's talking, Stacy's talking, she's like, oh, good day, mate. You know, like, she's going on. I don't know what, like, anyone's saying. Like, I just, but I happen to know, like, I have to record this. Like, that was my one task. And it was great. So why don't you talk about meeting Tony?
It was, so nobody was at his table, and then we just walked in, and I'm like, I gotta do it. I almost for a half second chickened out. I was like, no, I can't chicken out. So I just went over there and was like, hi.
And you're extremely enhanced as well, still
at
this point.
Yes. You saw the video. So.
Yes, I did.
Which I am grateful for that video because it is pretty cute, actually.
It is. It's adorable.
So my hands were shaking because I was like, how much, you know, like, how much to talk to you? What do I get for this money? I don't know. And so he's like, I think he said 30 or 40. I can't remember. And so I'm like pulling out hundreds out of my wallet. It's like, I don't know. I don't know what money is anymore. And so I gave him the money and my hands were shaking and trying to talk to him at the same time. And he was real sweet and mm-hmm. tiny and like real tiny.
Oh, he's lost some weight.
Yeah, I know, but I think I'm taller. I think I'm taller than he is.
Wow.
There's one picture that I love where he's like completely side eyeing me with the camera. Yeah. Like, he must have been like, what is this fucking guy feel? God knows what I looked like at that point. And I'm like, standing, like, he probably didn't know if I was with you or I was just like filming, you know, because like in the picture you could see it. He's just like glaring at me. And I'm like,
well, I think I threw my jacket at you, like, hold this.
Oh, yeah. That sounds
hold this.
But my favorite so part cute. Of it that I do recall is that you gave him the Kevin Kelly. He wanted to keep talking. I don't know if he was bored or just into you or what. And you gave him the, all right, you know, see you later. Like, this is like your favorite. And he's willing to sit here like flirting with you.
What was
and
that?
Like, I'm out.
I was like, I had basically invited him to MSG to our private suite. So it's like, I'm going to end with that. I mean, I'm not topping that in this conversation. Like, you know, like, what am I supposed to say?
I think you could have kept going with that. Been like, no, really. You could just, you know,
take
we'll,
in.
We'll be right up there.
I don't think anyone's ever been as excited as Tony was to hear about Dothan, Alabama.
Like, oh, when you my God.
Stood up.
That was such an icebreaker. That was great. So, are you really?
He signed a little poster thing for me, and so that was cool. And I toted that damn thing around New York mm-hmm. City for the whole
Oh, yeah,
rest
you toted
night.
It. Stacy fucking toted it. Yeah, I fucking toted it. You didn't tote it. You didn't tote shit.
Various everyone amounts of people everyone else toted that.
So this is where it goes hazy for me.
Oh, yeah,
I remember finishing with Tony, and everyone's still talking wrestling, and I'm like, look, we go like 3 hours, I think, to MSG. I'm like, you guys just do it. Like, just take me where you want to go. I'm like, because I am done trying to figure anything out right now.
Yeah, so that's when I had to take the lead because I'm like, I'm still hungry. I need, like, real food. I need drinks for sure. So
yeah, that's what it was more.
And we're not walking anywhere. So I was, like, herding the cats and getting the Uber. I got a van or some shit because I sat up front. I don't know where any because Justin's like, what happened? Where did I sit? Oh, I don't know. I just sat in the front seat.
No, did we? So we took an Uber to lunch. I thought the lunch place was like right there.
No, we Ubered to lunch. No, or did we not?
No, I think we walked to lunch. I think we stepped outside
and then we Ubered to MSG.
Yeah,
and then to
yeah,
the
we
Ubered
to MSG.
Yeah, that's
sure.
right. Because we just went to the first like random place that I came.
I think
across.
You looked on Yelp or something yeah. like that was the first one that came up. We just went.
Yeah.
We went in there.
And it was gotcha. Cool. Like, I liked that place, and I needed that place because it was dark and comfortable, and, like, somebody would bring me food and drinks, and it was good. Like, a recharge.
We had two tables. It yeah. was me, you, Stacy, and Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And then Flanagan. This is my favorite table of all time. Flanagan, Scott, Grunberg.
And Eels.
And Eels?
Yeah.
Yes.
That Why was is epic. That your favorite table of all time?
Because it was Scott at its scottiest, just holding court.
Scottiest.
And Grunberg just throwing it was like at a celebrity meet and greet. We just like lobbing questions at him.
And oh, he's just amazing.
Like, I'm surprised Scott. You remember any of that. You were
wow,
asleep for 100% of
I was enjoying
time.
It. It was not 100%, because every time I closed my eyes, the room would spin. I felt awful. Mm. Like, this is like one of the worst I've ever, like, I meant... Like, I was just trying not to die. Like, I was debating if I wanted to go throw up. Like, the room is spinning. My head hurt. And I'm like, this is fucking terrible. I'm like, I thought I did this so I didn't feel this way. You know, like, why is my life like this right now?
Wow.
And I'm like messaging everyone. I'm like, I just want this to end. Like, either my life or the high. Like, something.
I just wanted to end.
You
kept saying that go. Over and over again.
I non-specifically want it to end.
So I ordered chicken fingers. That's my go-to, and I could not even eat them. I think I had like a nibble of a fry, and I'm like, I'm gonna puke on this fucking table if I eat anything right now. So that was awful. I was able though, in between poor Hollywood talking to me, trying to talk to me. I felt bad because I was like, this is the only time we saw the guy all weekend, and I was like fucking too stoned to even talk to him, but I passed out for like 20 minutes at the table, and that was like the best power nap of my life. Because I woke up and it pretty much wore off. Like it was lingering, but the heavy high like completely wore off during that nap. So I got back to normal. So that felt good.
So was that like a second win for you? Were you?
Yes, big time. So then we took a lift. I don't remember this lift though. So I'm still like hazy.
Yeah.
We took a lift to meet, but I think I had told you guys. I think I messaged the group. Right? We had like this big chat called WrestleMania on the go. So it was like everyone who we knew was there was in this chat. So we could easily just like hit each other with like where everyone was at and going. So Poirier, who we hadn't seen yet and I was so excited to see, was at this bar, and I just remember saying the name of the bar and I don't remember getting there.
It was right close to MSG, so we just walked there real quick. It's like 2 blocks.
Well, we walked to MSG after the bar. We took the lift to the bar.
No, that's what I'm saying. We took the lift to MSG, and then the bar was like 2 blocks from there, and then we walked back to MSG.
I got you. See, I don't remember any of that. I just remember going into the thing and sitting on like Poirier's lap with his wife right there. Like that is the most I remember. But that bar is cool. I remember liking the bar once I came through, and we met. That's where I met Peter Winston as well.
Mm-hmm. What was that like?
So Scott and I were at the bar because they were just at the table four top, I think, and then somebody was standing there, Andy probably, and then so I was like, I need drinks, so I went to the bar. And then we see this guy talking to everybody at the table, and we're like, who is that? And we're trying to figure it out. Scott's like, well, look at his gear. It's probably Peter Winston. And I'm like, okay. And then I call Andy over, like, who's that guy? He's like, I don't know. Like, okay.
He doesn't know anyone.
I don't know.
So eventually I just go there and go, who are you? This is Peter. But he was cool.
Was anyone else at that? Who else was? The Eels didn't come there. Did Grunberg? No. Did we leave them both at WrestleCon?
I think so.
Okay.
Or at the dinner or the lunch, whatever. Right.
So who else was at the?
They're still at WrestleCon. They're looking for
you. Oh no, we trust me. They're back later. So who else was at that table? That was me, Poirier, his wife, and Scott. No, Scott was with you.
Stacy.
Oh, Stacy. Oh, she was there.
Yes, Stacy was there across from you, holding my poster.
That's okay. That's right. I just remember canoodling with Poirier.
Yes. Y'all cause quite a scene.
So we eventually walk over to MSG. We meet Sean, who takes us to the Pepsi suite. And inside of the suite, when we first got there, was like where my memory has like fully returned now. Like I remember getting there and settling in. And Sean Kidd is such a wonderful host that not only does he get us in the suite that has unlimited Pepsi products, he also was generous enough to bring a giant handle of Jack for us.
Oh my God.
Indulging. It was amazing.
We had packed a flask of Jack, which we didn't even need to tap into because we just had this huge bottle of Jack in the suite.
Wow.
So we were I was doing Jack and Mountain Dew. What were you drinking, Jack? Just Jack and Pepsi?
Yeah, Jack and Diet. I don't say the word Pepsi. I don't like Pepsi, but I made an exception in this case. But just being in, like, just the atmosphere of the suite is, like, really weird and, like, awesome. Like, you feel super important because there's like attendants like on the hallway. They're like just standing outside there just like, have a great show, really, and like enjoy, and like, you know, just super friendly and nice, and you feel like super important. And then the seats were friggin' cool as hell because I didn't expect us to have seats, honestly. I thought we were in the suite the whole time.
Yeah, well, I thought it was going to be like a standard suite where it's up high, mm-hmm. and you kind of come out of the suite and sit into the seats. But this suite, Tim, was like underground, and then the seats were like we were like the first row off the floor. So you actually walked down the hallway and came out into the arena, and then like these awesome seats, like they were kind of, we were actually like right next to Kevin, funny enough, where the commentary was. So we had like ridiculous seats. We were like super great. I mean, great, amazing view. And then to go back, we just had to walk down, go down the stairs and into the hallway to go to our suite, one set of whatever, use the bathroom or get another drink or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that experience was like top notch. It was really fucking cool. Sean was aces to hook us up with that. That was really neat. The only annoying part was when Enzo did his stupid fucking bullshit. We had to wait for them to come through. Security was like keeping us at bay. They're like, you gotta wait here. You can't come down to the suite because they're gonna walk out through here. So it was a work. If anyone,
which I was gonna say, yeah, evidence right there. It's a work.
They knew they were coming that way. So it was a work. So they left, and then we went and got drinks. But that show was great. It was long. I mean, everyone talks about how long Mania was. I thought that show was about an hour too long as well. And the ROH parts to me were the worst parts of it. They dragged a lot. All the New Japan shit was great. It was really cool. I had never seen Jushin Liger or Great Muta. So seeing them live, like at this point, when you never think you'd get to, was like the highlight of that whole show for me. Now I can kind of put those on my list of saying I saw Liger and Muta, you know, on a show live. So that was really cool. Yeah. And then the main event was really good. And there was one really good. I was gonna look up the results quick. There was one really good match in the undercard I liked a lot. G1 Supercard, is it? Yeah.
How did the handle of Jack fare?
Ooh, empty. Yeah. So I, you know, of course, I don't know anything about Ring of Honor or New Japan. So, you know, I was just kind of going with the flow of the show and just enjoying being there and not really getting it, really, as far as, like, who everybody is.
Who anyone is.
Yeah. So, so just kind of enjoying it. And then I started to hit my wall a lot later than Justin did. And they started setting up these ladders in one of the matches, and I was like, I'm tapping out. Like, I'm done. I gotta go lay down.
That's what did it for you.
I was like,
the ladders came out.
It was a long ass show. I mean, so we got in there at, I think the show started at 6:30. We probably got in there at like 6. The Battle Royal started at 6:30. And yeah, Jenny, that was probably like 11, quarter of 11 when you finally were
so like, I mean, I put my best foot forward, okay? Like, I tried my hardest, and then it was just enough. I'm like, I'm going to go lay down. So I went to this suite and crashed the fuck out on the couch. And there's a very, very flattering picture of me sleeping on that couch. But I regret nothing because I needed that power nap.
Yeah.
The match I really liked was,
well, the last two matches combined were about an hour, so that's, you even missed both of those. Because then I remember hustling to wake you up so we could get the hell out of there. But Ibushi Naito was the match of the night in my eyes. That was the one before you crashed. That was really good. So I recovered pretty well. Like, I was back up and running. I had a couple of Jack and Mountain Dews, and I was back at it. So we leave there, and this time we're like, okay, we are not going back to Chinatown to go drinking. We're going to stay out here near MSG. So we went to Stout.
Yes.
And it's a two-floor bar, and Claire noted that there was karaoke downstairs. So he was already there. Shit. And he messages us, and Karaoke Mania Weekend, that's our thing. So we go there, Eels is there, and the ghost of Eels. And I offered a very gracious apology to Mr. Eels. I'm like, I am so sorry if I was an asshole before. I'm like, I had no clue what I was doing. And he was super cool about it. He was like, I didn't notice anything. So he either was not noticing or just being very nice. Either way, I appreciated it. So that late night group was Sean's boys. It was Sean, Keith, and then their buddy Stacy, me, Jenny, Scott, Flanagan, Eels,
Claire's
buddy came at some point. And who am I missing? Was there anyone else?
I feel like there is someone else.
It wasn't Grooney. He didn't come back out, right? Poirier didn't come. Jake
didn't come. No.
Oh yeah, he did. Jambalaya.
Yeah, he was there. I feel like he was there. Yeah, because he was with Stacy. They sat together. And Peter was there.
That's right, Peter. Okay, yeah. I knew there was someone else. Yeah. Yeah, he came. I'm trying to look at photo evidence that Jacob was there. I think I had pictures of everyone.
Pretty sure.
So I saw a Claire performance.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The live the Facebook group. And he was getting it, you know?
He was.
He was going for it.
Yeah, he did a Cult of Personality with Scott on backup vocal. Yeah. And my goal was just to shoot the best karaoke music video of all time. So I worked hard on that. And we had awesome rep from the PTB crowd. Like, we all circled everyone, you know, you guys all circled around the stage. Like, not really stage, whatever, just the floor where we were singing. And he did an awesome job. That was definitely one of the highlights of the weekend. And also, we did the group rendition of Dream On that everyone was doing was awesome, too. That was a cool place. I had a really good time there. That was a lot of fun. hitting that place up.
I tried to get you to sing, and you would not.
Mm.
So
I wasn't drunk. That was the problem.
Did you sing, Jenny?
No, I wanted to, but I think I finally put in a song, and then we decided to leave.
I said I would do Picture by Kid Rock and Sheryl Crow.
Yes.
But that was it never happened. We never. It was kind of cutthroat. Claire, I think, tipped the guy to get moved up.
Did and he? Then,
yeah, he did. He had like $20.
Wow.
But the
Grease and the MC karaoke bar.
Oh my Jesus!
It. He's a pro. He's a karaoke pro. I think he hosts it.
Back home. That's what you got to do, I guess.
He knows the tips of the trade. But the oh God, I got to pick up. Sorry. There was some real bad ones in a row, so I think the guy was desperate for someone good, and I think he moved Claire up again on his own.
Yeah,
because there were some real fucking bad ones. Like it was like a stretch of like three or four, just terrible. Like this group of guys at Barbie Girl that was like
most that was awful. Yeah.
Excuse me. <moment. laughs> They took a break in a minute.
Yes,
it's a natural break, right? For something.
Yeah, it is.
So anyway, so that place was really cool. We had a great time. And yeah, we did not go sing, Sally. We did not make it up in time. But we were there pretty late, and then we still had to take the train back.
Yes.
Did we take a train or lift? How do we get back?
We did.
I think Andy navigated us on the train, right?
Yeah, I feel like, yeah. Because I was real skeptical that we were actually going to make it back to the hotel.
Oh,
because Andy's sober, thank God.
Andy's sober and very smart.
Yes.
Back, okay.
And that's when I took that picture of y'all. Yeah.
I wish we could have gotten there like an hour earlier and been there longer because that was a lot of fun being there, and maybe I would have been drunk and would have sang, but
we'd have more videos.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so that's your Saturday. Is there anything else we need to get into on Saturday?
No.
Oh, the rat. I was, you know,
the rat.
Yeah, I was like kind of thinking to myself a couple of times, like, you know, I wonder if I'll see like any rats or anything, just like, you know, normal, like, I don't know, things that you would see in the movies or whatever, like New York rats or whatever. So anyway, just me being silly. And then as we're walking back to the hotel, this giant rat runs right in front of me and Scott. I was like, oh my God. I don't know why I was so delighted. I was. I just felt like, you know, I've seen it all now.
It was Bad News Brown sewer rat.
He had the authentic New York experience.
It was huge.
Oh, excellent. All right. With that said, we are going to go into our hard break now. But when we come back, we have the PTV tailgate to get into, as well as WrestleMania itself. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop Feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content, offering tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth search projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and HistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Coming to your town, it's getting away, we're gonna knock you down.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another fun-filled edition of Talkin' Pop, where we are recapping the mania of WrestleMania weekend. I am Tim Capel with, as always, Jennifer Smith and our very special guest, who is there live on location, JT Justin Rosero. But before we get to live action once again here, we have some things to run down on our various networks of podcasts. So, on the PTBN Pop feed, where you can hear this show, also look for Stephen Kelly on the latest Songs with Friends, where they were joined by Jason Sherman, talking some Bush. I know that is near and dear to Jason's heart, yes. And as they say, no hair, no flair. Greg and Nick, our friends, the hard-traveling fanboys, had a new Longbook Hunters edition of their show, and they were exploring Shazam, Monster Society of Evil. And, also, check out their third anniversary special featuring The Essential Jim Ross. I don't recall that trade paperback, Jenny. That sounds like a non-comics product. What's that all about?
Well, I think that's a Hard Family Fanboys exclusive, you know, just project that is ongoing, and it's really a must-listen.
It really is a must-listen, and as all the episodes of the Hard Traveling Fanboys are.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we have got Andrew and Adam breaking down where the NBA playoff teams are going to be headed. That is on the latest NBA team podcast. Oh, and here's one that I am somewhat familiar with. It's the Marvel Age podcast. That is myself, Todd Weber, Nick Duke, and Russell Sellers. We took a look at the first half of 1970 in Marvel Comics. So, breaking down the best and most important stories and comics of that year. Check that out. We will have another episode, second half of 1970, coming your way pretty soon. And hey, look, Jenny, it's us, where we welcomed Glenn Butler on our last episode prior to this one in the hot and high seat. And as
you need to call him Glenn Butner, like Kevin always does.
Yeah, I'm sure Glenn knew his name or his head from a hole in the ground on that one, because that was quite the reversal of fortune there. He flipped the script on us in unexpected but exciting ways. So if you did not hear our previous episode, do go back in the archives, listen to that, catch yourself up. And finally, Jenny, look at this. It's you.
It's me.
You and Miranda from Geek and Sassy. You had your second annual Sassy Awards, which I still need to listen to. I'm very sorry for that. I'm looking forward to it. Look, I told Todd the last time we, you know, took a look at these great podcasts that was the one I just have circled in my podcasting notebook that I've been meaning to jump on, because I need to listen to it all in one go. No interruptions. That's the only way I can listen to Geek and Sassy. I don't know why. It's that type of podcast for me.
Well, that one is actually shorter than our usual shows, so it won't be as much of a slog to get through, hopefully.
Oh, it's never a slog to get through. My preferred mode of listening. All right. Now, we need to talk about a new contest that is being held on the Looking Forward, Looking Back podcast. We're doing, I guess you can call it, a summer movie wager. And it's based on how well you think you can predict how the summer movie releases are going to do. And this is important, in the domestic box office. So basically, just pick your top 10 movies in order of how you think they're going to finish. Domestic box office gross, and you'll need to include three wild card picks as well. So just kind of dark horse candidates outside of that top 10. And then just for fun, what you think is going to be the biggest box office bomb of the summer as well. So that'll be one to keep an eye on too. Send those picks to lflbpop@gmail.com. That's lflbpop@gmail by Monday, April 22nd. So don't have a lot of time there, but jump on it if you're hearing this now and it's before the 22nd. Any movie that is released on or after April the 26th is eligible. So that tally ends on Labor Day. That is September 2nd this year. The winner is going to get to be a future guest on Laugh-In Theater, and they can pick the comedy movie of their choosing. So that'll be one to look forward to, one to watch. And Jenny, why don't you tell folks what is going on our wrestling feed?
On the wrestling feed, Nate Milton and his crew were breaking down WrestleMania 35 on a special edition of Chain Reaction. And also I'm going to plug something that's not on here, which is the main event, which I was on with Nate and Scott and other people that are not as important as me, obviously. And
if you want to hear Jenny sing, make sure you listen.
I sang a little bit of a song to Nate because he wanted me to be on Chain Reaction. I also wanted to be on Chain Reaction, but I couldn't. Number one, because I lost my voice over the weekend. And number two, another reason I don't remember. So anyway.
Well, you say you lost your voice, and I found it really breathtaking myself. So.
Oh, yes.
It was, yeah, you really owe it to yourself to check out Jenny's singing abilities.
Yeah, no. Just listen to the show for wrestling or whatnot, not that.
Oh, nobody cares about the wrestling.
And then Chris and Devin, I don't know if anybody sang on that show, but they were on the PTBN WrestleMania 35 reaction show. And then JT and Chad had a new Wrestling War Zone where they watched Starrcade 95.
That's me. Look at the Starrcade baby doll.
With Dusty.
About a son of Bono. Yeah.
Dusty, who is the best ever.
And Mafia was on that show as well, I believe.
The Mafia Kick.
Ain't got nothing to do with the Mafia.
We talked all about, like, I think of that hour and 40-minute show, like, an hour and 20 is dedicated to Dusty commentary.
Dusty's the best.
Amazing.
I love him so much.
And it's a great Dusty performance, that one.
And then, of course, they're continuing to dip into Where the Big Boys Play Vault with Chad and Parv, and they looked at Starrcade 87. And then Nick and Greg had an episode of What If. It's the second episode, and they examine a world where CM Punk doesn't leave WWE in 2014. And then,
it's a good new show.
Yeah, it is a good new show with a great producer, I will say.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, you want to keep an eye on PlaceToBeNation.com because they're going to be doing a lot more written stuff now that Mania is over and we can kind of get back to that. And then also the candy tournament. Don't forget about that. It's on Facebook, and you can vote every day until Easter.
It's on Twitter, too.
Yep, Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, we're winding down. I think we're into the final four, right? Because it's – oh, no, we'll get a champion on Easter, so maybe we're on the Elite Eight. I don't know.
I think that's correct.
Yeah. So lots going on there. Good job, guys, on that. Tim, speaking of Bush, do you prefer shaved or Bush?
Not fully shaved, but
okay. Like trimmed,
shorn down. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good. Well, that's where I'm at right now.
I mean,
now, so
given,
if you
the,
date,
given the
can hang out.
I would just say, given the extremes, I would say fully shaved than full on bush, but neither are all that desirable.
Okay, I try and hang in the middle.
Oh yeah, that's perfectly acceptable. I mean, all right, so we're doing a podcast.
Way to make it weird, Justin.
Well, look, last time we spent like 20 minutes on porn. I figured we had to talk something.
Yeah.
Risque.
Okay, so let's see. Place B Nation Pop podcast feed standards and guidelines. Oh, we're not so good. getting back.
We just broke them all.
Yeah.
Breaking crimes left and right.
Yeah, you can't talk about Bush on these shows. What are you doing?
Well, it's just a shitty band.
getting back to live action now, as I've teased so very much I enjoy teasing and being teased. We are now on Sunday of our WrestleMania 35 recap adventure. I assume you two made it back to your hotels alive.
Just barely, yes.
Woke up in one piece.
Yes.
Yep, all good there. Got some a little bit of sleep. Charlie had arrived during the middle of the night into the room. He had come in. He had forgotten about WrestleMania weekend. They booked. Had a rough night. They booked a family vacation to like some island. I forget where we went, Bermuda or some shit. And he got in on the Saturday. He's like, "Oh fuck, I can't believe I double booked." So he had a bag on NXT, and he's all upset. And I'm like, "Well, why don't you just..." Like, they were flying into Logan in Boston. I'm like, "Why don't you stay at Logan and just fly back to New York after you kind of, you know, say bye to the family?" So that's what he did. He flew into, I think, JFK or LaGuardia Saturday night, found his way to the hotel, and then crashed to be prepared for Sunday. Gotcha. So Sunday we woke up, and the tailgate started at 11. So I feel like we left the hotel like around left 10, maybe. Mm. We drove down to Jersey, which was not a bad ride. I don't think we really hit much traffic at all. So we get to the stadium, and we go...
Oh, Lord.
I go to park. You know, we're supposed to be in lot 27. So I go down this road, and to get into where their lots are was a booth to pay. So I pay them $40, and I'm like, "All right, where's lot 27? She's like, "Oh, that's back over there." So I'm like, "So I have to go out of the security and back in?" She's like, "Yeah, but if you show them your ticket, you'll be all set." So I'm like, "Okay." So, of course, we get over there, and Tim, as you know with my customer service history, what happens?
No, no.
We're a different company. We don't accept that. So I'm like, "Fuck you. You don't accept that."
What?
I'm like, $40. We didn't even park. And I'm like, all wound up. And
yep.
I'm like, fuck it. So the passengers in my car were kind enough to pay for the second round of parking. Then I just let it go. I was going to go back, but I'm like, I just want to get the fuck in there and start drinking. So... this year, since Nick Duke was not coming to Mania and hosting the tailgate, yep, we hooked up with a group called Mania Club, which is, I guess, loosely affiliated with WWE in that they raise a portion of the funds that they collect and some of the raffles they do to Connor's Cure. So it's a pretty big group, and it's a fun Facebook group. Like, they're at all different live events, and you can actually get a lot of cool info and tips and stuff on events coming your way. So, and they had like a huge buffet. They had beer and they had some mixed stuff, and that was all prepaid. So we kind of carved out like a little PTBN area. And when I tell you that the weather was perfect tailgating weather, I don't think I've ever had better. It was like 70, maybe 65, 70. Sun was out. You didn't need a jacket. You just, you know, just do t-shirt, but you weren't warm. It was like perfect drinking weather. It was just like iconic tailgating weather. Do you agree, Jenny?
Yes, it was unbelievable, honestly. I was not expecting that. And even though you're in like just like a random like dingy parking lot, it just feels like something more. I don't know. So weird. But and then they crowded a bunch of us in that area.
I feel like that's what you're rolling the dice on, if anything, is the weather with something like that. So that's great that it worked out. Not only, you know, clear day, but it's not super hot, super cold. It's as you said, perfect tailgating.
And they had us, like, you know, kind of cornered off. Like, they had really fenced it in. They had a tent for the food. So it was like our own little VIP area for just the Mania Club. Mm-hmm. And we got a good spot. Like, our cars were right there. So if we had to make a run back and forth, because we had brought some of our own liquor. I brought some local beer from here. Peter brought some that he had picked up in Vermont. And then when our boy Ben Zandi came, he brought some local Tennessee whiskey and some Tennessee sipping cream. Whatever. So we had a bunch of our own stuff because the lines for the alcohol at Mania Club, one of the downfalls is that the lines were kind of long. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty much just like PBR and fucking High Life, I think, were the obvious for beer. But the food was pretty – I was actually more impressed with the food than I expected. I thought it was just going to be grilled stuff, but they actually had like tailgating barbecue stuff. They had like ribs and they have wings. And, you know, so like it was a good variety.
Mm-hmm.
We were surrounded by hundreds of people. But we really had our own group of 30, you know, 30-ish PTB just kind of in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. Like, that's always my highlight of the weekend, really, is the tailgate to get to see everyone. And this one was just – I mean, it was just perfect. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. Everyone just had a great time. There's no bullshit. Everyone's just chatting, kind of bouncing around. There was a bunch of random people cosplaying, like for a contest they were having. So get some pictures, get a picture with Owen Hart, Ric Flair, Nikolai Volkov. You know, so like, there's a bunch of ones we bounced around.
Yeah, pictures. Some of those I was trying to figure out if there were anyone that I knew or anyone from PTV. But no. I knew since it was kind of a ticketed tailgate with a larger group that it might not have been, you know, anyone from within the PTB community necessarily.
The only cosplay was me doing your browser guys in sweatpants.
Yes, thank you.
You wish.
Some choice pictures.
There are some very choice, somewhat suspect pictures. I might, you know what? I might just slap those on an application, send it off to him. I bet you'll get a phone call.
There's one of me and Aaron George where I am. Yeah. All right. I love seeing
Aaron.
Well,
I mean, you're talking to Aaron, so.
Right. What a crew.
Yeah.
I had a scene description ready. Yeah.
Peter Winston, by the way, is exactly like you would envision him.
Yes.
Like, it's like you're on the podcast listening to him. Like, he's the same.
Yeah.
And him and Scott are, like, just made for each other. Like, when they're talking off air when we're recording or even on air, like, they're just doing the same thing in person. They hit it off wonderfully. I think Scott had a blast. We had some kids with us. Of course, I had mentioned Cowboy's nephew. Atherton's kids were there. Aaron's son was there. So, like, they were having a blast. And then the highlight really was Ryder, who that's Cowboy's nephew. He's 9. He just got super into wrestling, like, last year. And he is, like, the shyest kid you'll ever meet. Mm-hmm. And they entered the raffle, and he won an authentic WWE world title belt autographed by Stephanie McMahon, Roman Reigns, and, like, a bunch of other people.
No shit.
So he went up, and everyone's chanting his name. And, I mean, this is, like, you know, I never seen this kid with such a smile. Like, uh-huh. I mean, and this was like a legit belt. The fucking thing was heavy. It was like the real version of the belt. So that was like an awesome moment. Everyone, like our whole group was just marking out big time when he won. Except for Scott was, you know, clenched fist in the corner, but no, I'm kidding. But it was really a cool moment. It was awesome when he won that. And then to top it all off, like I mentioned, they were kind of loosely affiliated and they had teased kind of a surprise guest. And lo and behold, who comes in but Stephanie McMahon comes into the tailgate, and Jenny starts marking out hard, runs over to see Mama Steph, who was there to accept the check for Connor's cure, and she gave a quick speech. But Jenny, any thoughts on Steph showing up?
I was freaking out, like, because I was pretty fucking drunk by then. And, yeah. But I didn't get real close to her, but I got closer than ever expected to get to her. And
did you start crying?
No, I wasn't that freaking out, but
I wanted you to be.
I was, and half the pictures, my thumb is in the way somehow. I mean, like, my thumb's way up here. I don't get it, but I got to see her, and it was so cool. I was freaking out. I don't even know who that other guy was.
Tino Marella.
I don't even know who that is.
But the tailgate was amazing. The group was great. So we left there around 4-ish. And, or maybe, like, we kind of closed it out. It was like, and we were the assholes, by the way. So
we were.
Yeah. So great. Here we go.
Somehow along the way, like, we're playing football and then, like, wrestling and, like, hitting each other with chairs. Like, we were those people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just being real pricks.
Yeah.
So we ended up, we kind of closed it out. I think we left, like, 20 past 4 to head over well after the gates opened, which is my advice anyway. Everyone tries to line up and get there, like, when the gates open, and you just end up standing in line. So, like, let's just wait, and we'll walk over. As you may have seen on social media, Ben Zandi had forgotten his ticket at home.
Yeah.
It was a comp, so he didn't have, like, a digital version. So as we're walking over, he buys one from some guy lingering. Like, where we were more, like, near the Izod Center, so we had to kind of walk a decent amount over to the MetLife. We had to cross over the bridge. Yeah. And he bought a ticket pretty far away from the stadium, which made me weary, but... Mm-hmm. So he ended up being a fake ticket, so he did not get in. Sorry, I felt awful.
Yeah,
poor guy. He had a blast at the tailgate, though. He said it was well worth it.
I don't remember much about the walk from the tailgate.
It was pretty much you and Peter were like holding each other up the whole way.
That sounds right.
Now, who did you hit with a chair, Jenny?
Aaron.
Everyone.
I think
Aaron. Aaron got it.
You definitely had Ben.
I definitely chased somebody. with it. I remember
you also had the kids hitting everyone in the balls with the football.
Yes, I did.
Your thing.
I would, yes. I don't know why. That just seemed like fun at the time.
So it was hilarious. Yeah. Getting smacked in the balls by a 6-year old.
They would bring the ball back to me and be like, throw it at this guy.
Hit him in the nuts.
And wow. They listened to me and they did whatever I said. I was screaming at these children and cursing at them. Bless their hearts.
So we walk over and we get to the front of MetLife. And we decided to take a big group selfie before we head in. And we turn around and before we know it, we are getting yelled at by a security guard. Like,
I remember
lectured.
That.
Lectured about, you know, listen, you guys have already had enough to drink. And you better not drink in there or we will throw you out, basically. Like, is what he said. Like, don't have a drink in there or we're going to throw you out. And I was like, it took all I had to not get mouthy and, like, you know. like, I was fighting every instinct I had to not be a dick. And the only thing I said was, do you really think I'd pay for a beer in this fucking place? He was like, regardless. He was like, don't buy any. I don't care. I'm like, all right, buddy. Like, leave us the fuck alone. I'm like, this is a fucking giant stadium where they play the Eagles and the Redskins. I'm like, we're the drunkest fucking people you've ever seen in this goddamn place. I'm giving a break.
And obviously they'd been, like, scooping you out to have said this. Like,
yeah, I wondered what we were doing. Like, were we falling down? Yeah, were we rowdy? Bad. I don't
know. We just took the picture. And we must have just been loud, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. He can get fucked. So we go in there. He should be keep an eye on scalpers, give them fake tickets
versus
bothering us. So we go inside, and we met Brad, so that was cool.
Yes, I remember that.
You were like,
is this the first Brad appearance of the weekend?
Yes.
He only went to the show, and he met us there.
Okay.
Jenny was crashing hard, though.
Mm. I was rallying hard. Excuse you. I went to the bathroom. Stacy took me to the bathroom. I remember that.
I was like, Stacy, you got to get this girl to the bathroom, like, now.
I did not. But then, I don't remember what turned me around. Maybe it was sitting there talking to Brad.
Because
I don't remember eating. Did we eat again? And I didn't have any more alcohol the rest of the night.
No, not at that point. We didn't eat. I said I was going to get you food, and then I was like, fuck it. I'm not waiting in line. So I never did. So we went back in. We went into our seats, which were good, but also a little annoying because we had one of the pillows from the canopy kind of cutting the ring on us. But I've said before, I said in a war zone and I've said it in the chat, it's like, for that show, you're really not paying, you're not going to, like, study the matches. Like, you're there for the, and you're there for the moments. And that's just, is what it is when you're in that stadium atmosphere. You're not there to really watch them. It sounds stupid, but you're not really there to, like, watch the action. You're there more just to be part of the action.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm fine with that. I can watch it later. Like, to me, it's all about the experience. And I thought it was a really good show. The back end did drag a bit. Again, I think an hour could have been shaved off easily.
Mm-hmm.
But it was filled with a lot of cool moments. Like, seeing Kofi win the world title live was awesome. No, we had a good time. We did have more chicken fingers. I know we had that.
Okay, good.
Was it amateur comedy hour at the concession stands there?
No, I think it wasn't too bad. They were running out of stuff. They ran out of souvenir cups. I usually get a souvenir mania cup, and they were out of those and a couple other things. But I got my chicken fingers. I got my soda. And no, that was it. So we left there and walked back, and Flanagan was like the master. He ignored Waze, and somehow we got right on the highway and hit no traffic. Go off. So yeah, man, I don't know if you want to break down anything else mania wise, but I don't think that's the feel of that, right?
Yeah. I mean, did you guys pretty much, were you up pretty much for the whole show, or you said that last hour you started to just, I don't know, started to feel it a little bit more?
Honestly,
but
I didn't feel the time that much, and I don't,
no.
And you would think that I would be, considering all the alcohol, I really don't know how I did it. I don't.
Well, you know, again, it was a benefit of, like, being outside in the fresh. Like,
maybe.
We weren't in a kind of closed-in area. It was, like, outside. It was nice out. It was a little chilly, but it was, like, a nice cool night. So it was, like, it was an easy atmosphere to stay awake. But it was fun. Like, you know, we took a bunch of pictures. We were joking around. Right?
I yelled at those.
Flipped out on a guy behind.
Yeah, I yelled at those fuckers behind me.
Wait, what happened?
They were complaining about the lights. And, like, it was before the sun went down. And the lights, I mean, they were a little bit bothersome, but it wasn't that big of a deal. And then I think I said something about, get some fucking sunglasses or something. I don't know.
You really yelled at him. He really, because I was like, I don't feel like getting in a fucking fight. So I'm like, please. I'm like, I do not feel like, that security guard's who I told you. Like, I did not.
Yeah, really.
Here we go. And that guy.
See this asshole.
Whatever. I could have took that guy.
Well, he didn't even reply to you. He just, like, put his head down. I was like, oh, God. What a,
shut the fuck up.
Bitch with a light, and then he gets yelled at by this drunk chick. He's, like, completely shut down. I was like, all right.
Excellent.
It was a good time. It was probably of the recent vintage. I thought it was, I think overall it's probably the best Mania since 31. I have to think about compare it. I've been to 32 on, and it was easily the best I've been to.
Okay. So your best live experience Mania wise.
Well, yeah, not all time. 20 is my best. But of the modern ones, I'd go this one, then Orlando 33, then New Orleans, and then I guess a toss-up between 29 and 32. I guess 29 is probably better, and then 32 is the worst I've been to. But
Yeah,
but this was a great one. I mean, really, even the downtime didn't kill it. Like, there was nothing bad on the show. You know what I mean? There was some stuff that I maybe would have shaved some time off of and picked it up, but I don't think anything sucked, which was good. I wish, like, there was probably 15 minutes less of Triple H or Batista.
Yep.
And maybe cut like one other match and you're probably talking.
Yeah. I mean, that was kind of the dividing line, I think, for anyone watching at home. That was when the wheels sort of came off for all the live watches that were going on the internet, was that Triple H Batista match, which you kind of knew was going to be the case going in. So what can you really say? Was there anything y'all got up to afterwards, after Mania itself? Was it just too late?
Yeah, no, not that. It was just too late.
Yeah.
By the time it's getting out of Jersey and getting back and stuff, was just, that was about it.
Yep.
Okay. And that was it. That was pretty much the end of the weekend. Next day, I drove home. I had to drive from – I crashed in Norwalk, so had to drive from there to fucking drop Charlie off in Mass, Douglas, Mass, and then home. So that was a bit of a haul to get back. But like I said, we listened to Reaction Show and pretty much cruised on home. And then I think it took me till about Wednesday or Thursday last week to really get over, like, the hangover of the weekend. Like, it took me a few days. Like, yeah. I had Monday off, Tuesday I worked from home, and even Wednesday at the office till I was just, like, completely checked out.
Yeah. So, Jenny, for you, Monday back to sucky depression life, had to leave.
You don't even know about sucky depression life. I had to take the saddest train ride ever. I went to Grand Central, and that was awesome, actually. I should have got some food there, but I didn't. And then I was, of course, toting all of my shit around, so that was real fun. You know what? People were fucking nice. And that's what I was going to say. Like, coming out of one of the trains, my bag is a piece of shit and it like flipped over and, my other bag came off my arm and I'm just like a fucking mess standing there. And then this guy just picks it up and hands it back to me and then like, okay, thanks. Everybody was nice. Nobody was like impatient or, dicks to me when I was toting all of my shit around. So, and then I ended up at Newark and that place was dead. I was like, where is everybody?
Still at Mania.
Yeah, apparently. And then, at the gate at Newark, the plane was a little bit delayed and that plane was full. There's tons of people at that gate. And then this kid started talking to me. It's like college kid, like 19 or so, real young looking. Yeah. He saw my Mania shirt, of course I was wearing, and started talking to me about wrestling, and I'm just like trying to be nice. And he was real sweet, but I was just, he was like,
was he Hashmash?
He was cute, yeah.
Well, Hashmash.
He was a little.
He's probably just pumped that he saw you in a wrestling shirt.
All right.
Yeah, about
he was like, just kept asking me, have you seen this match? Have you seen this match? Have you seen this match? And I'm like, baby, I can't. I'm trying to have a breakdown. Could you just not?
I don't know if I've seen that.
But
you should have been like, "Have you seen Uncensored 1995?"
I actually did, because he was like, "I said, well, I met Tony Schiavone." He's like, "I don't know who that is."
Oh God.
And I was like, okay, so I tried to explain older. So he's like, oh, I'm not watching any of that. I'm like, okay. But in the course of this conversation, I was like, I need to go back and watch all the takeovers. So I'm planning on doing that. So that kid was at least good for something.
Yeah.
Then he sat behind me, and I was like, oh, God, please don't talk to me. And thankfully, he didn't. And thankfully, I had a empty seat next to me, so I crashed during that flight. Nice. And then in Atlanta, I went to the Delta Sky Club.
Oh, okay.
Which is like the only thing I'm going to do ever in the airports now, because it was awesome.
I've always thought about it, but
it's so worth it.
Okay.
It's like $30 if you have a gold card, and it's free food, free drinks, like a huge buffet, open bar, like comfortable seats and clean bathrooms and little charging stations, and it's pretty much the best place ever. And it's cool. The only like thing that got me through the day, really, because by the time I got home, I was just exhausted, because I didn't leave Atlanta until like 9.
Yeah.
So I didn't get here until late. It was a long day. And then I didn't feel right until like Friday. My recovery period took a while.
A mixture of recuperation and depression.
Yes.
It's the same thing.
Yes.
It's funny, too, that the Raw after Mania is like this huge thing, you know? And like, I feel like every year I barely survive it because I'm like so exhausted. Like, yeah. I definitely passed out at like 9:45 or whatever on my couch, like trying to watch that Raw. And I woke up as it ended and I'm like, I just got nothing. I cannot watch this fucking show. And last year, I think I was watching it in the car as I was driving on D'Amato's phone. So it's like, it's not become a destination Raw for me. It's usually like, the come down off this ridiculous high, and just like try to survive to watch it. But it was an amazing trip. I had an awesome time. I'm like already, our on the go group is like already jazzed. I got Grunberg hitting me up daily trying to find out where the hotel is going to be, in Tampa. But I'm ready to go. Like I'm ready for Tampa. I will be there, pumped up, and it's a highlight weekend. I said it before on other shows, and if you're considering going or you're not sure, do it, because even if, like, you're not the biggest WWE fan, or you know, don't care about me. Like, it's the camaraderie. It's all the atmosphere, all the people in one place there for one event. Is just awesome. Like, there's such a buzz in the area. And even if you just come and hang out, it's like the whole PTB group that goes is always awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so much fun. And I feel like that's always usually one of the biggest takeaways from everyone who goes is like how much fun they had just hanging out and becoming friends. And I just think of all the different people I met and everyone, and it's intoxicating. It's really cool. And Nick is already planning one hell of a spread for next year. So I definitely recommend if you want to come, this might be the one to go to. It's a close drive for him, so he's bringing his full gear and everything. So it's going to be a great time. Can't wait.
Cool. Jenny, you're in for Tampa, I take it, as well?
Oh, hell yeah, and you are too.
No. Yeah. Any road trips between now and then? Other shows y'all are considering or planning to go to?
I am going to Money in the Bank next month in Hartford.
Oh, wow.
Only because it's so close. Yeah. I passed on Extreme Rules in Philly. Some of the guys here are going to that in July. That's the weekend. It's after the 4th and before my big annual party, so I didn't want to do it. I'm thinking Money in the Bank will probably be my last one of the year. I don't think there's anything else real close. And I could use a break anyway, so I'll probably be off until after Money in the Bank. I'll probably be off until Mania, unless it's like some random indie shindig I go to or something. But as far as like major WWF events, I don't think I'll be WWE events. I'm not planning to go to.
I don't even know
at this point.
I think there's one in Atlanta this year, right? Which one is in Atlanta?
I'm not sure. I know Survivor Series weekend's in Chicago, I think, which actually would be pretty cool. I've never actually been like hung out in Chicago. Like, that'd be a cool trip to go to TakeOver in Survivor Series.
Yeah. I've been to Chicago a couple times and did see a very large rat run out in front of me actually, in the street, which was exhilarating as well. But yeah, Chicago is very cool. Yeah, so JT, where can folks find you on the social meds?
At place number 2B Nation. That's me. So if you can tell by all the Jets and Friars retweets, that's me.
Yes. And on Twitter, you can find me at Cyke68, C-Y-K-E-6-8. Jenny, what about yourself?
I'm Jenny Cruz, 2814 on Twitter. And don't believe any videos that you see from anybody named Boston Nuga or some bullshit on Twitter. So.
Some bullshit on Twitter.
Yeah, thank you.
No, please don't.
Hachi Machi.
No.
H. Mace. Well, with that said, we are going to get out of here. Hope you enjoyed our WrestleMania, Mania of WrestleMania 35 recap. And we'll probably be doing this again next year. But
wait.
You can listen to all the great podcasts on Place Me Nation and Place Me Nation Wrestling between now and then. Of course, we will have another installment, many more installments to come. And yeah, stick with us, and we will be back next month. Talk to you then.
Bye. Just